This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on point. Pardon me. A little too much eggnog there. And of course, still on holiday break. So we have another special guest co-host with us this week. And you might know him if you have seen, if you're part of the Caps fans or Caps Society, more appropriate, Caps Society Facebook pages. Of course, created by Grant Green, and if you're a regular YouTuber like myself, caught his videos that recap the Caps games that are quite informative and lucid, very calm, rational takes, which is probably the thing I like most about his videos. So with us tonight, it's Brad Silvestro. Bradley, how you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Pretty good, pretty good. Awesome. Got a game coming up. It's about 5:30 Eastern time where we're at Sunday evening, as we always do. Brad, before I forget, thanks very much for coming on with us. And as we always do, tell our listeners about yourself. Mainly, first thing, how'd you get started as a Caps fan?
I got started. I actually came into the game late. I came into the game. Now, don't judge me here. I'm not a bandwagoner, but I came into the game, I think it was one, maybe two seasons after Ovechkin was drafted. I had never been into hockey. I grew up playing a myriad of other sports. And randomly, one of my best friends in high school one day, he came to me and he said, "Hey, man, we got this great new guy, Ovechkin, and hockey's awesome. We're all about to go to a game." It was a trip through the school. "We're about to go to a game. Do you want to go?" Called my mom. "Hey, mom, we're doing a trip. Can I go?" "Sure." And that was my first game I had ever been to. And it happened to be a game against the Atlanta Thrashers. And Ovechkin scored a hat trick.
So, nice.
Yeah, it was great exposure to see such a great game. And so that was that must have been in 2005 or 2006, I think. And I hopped on hard, and I've been diehard ever since. I'm DC across the board because I live in the DMV. And it was magnetic for me. I was drawn to it instantly, and I can't get enough of it.
Oh, that's great. And look, hey, nothing wrong. Look, I don't care if you started being a Caps fan 2 minutes ago, as long as you love the team, you're willing to learn about the game, if you don't know much about it, and Ovechkin being the cause, hey, that's great. That's why he's here. That's one of the great things about him, because he has put DC hockey on the map. So ain't nothing wrong with that as far as I'm concerned. So We take all comers here. We love the old schoolers and the new schoolers. So, as long as you're a Caps fan, hey, you are more than welcome on this show. So, before we came on, talking about work, can you get into a little bit of what it is you do for the almighty paycheck?
I work in IT. I work on computers. I'm a computer nerd.
Wow. My wife keeps telling me I have a type, and it must be a nerds of a feather type of thing. Cause we had Blake Allen on last week, and
Blake. Yep. I heard it. Yeah. I heard the podcast last week. It was very good.
Yeah. He does, well, he couldn't get into what he does. He's not IT per se. And, and my old friend Doug does, special, financial coding. He told me once for products on the IT side for a certain financial company. And I do IT support for another financial company. So, yeah, I must have a type because these are the hockey friends I keep running into.
It's funny. But I noticed last week when you and Blake were talking, that you guys are I want to say similar to how I view the game, in that maybe I'm not quite as analytical as say Blake is, but we like numbers. I can tell we like fun stats. We like seeing trends, and we like having those things tell the story. And I think, as you guys pointed on last week, it's good for the game. It's good for the fan base when fans can be smarter about their team and the game as a whole. When when people are much more level-headed about things, you mentioned in my channel, I like to be a little more level-headed about things. And that's because we're all just fans, right? And that's why I named the channel what I did, Just a Fan, because we are just a fan. We like being fans. There's a reason for it. And when you take things too seriously, that's when, you know, people get upset. You know, things can kind of slide downhill. But when you have fun with it and you look at these fun numbers and trends and see fun things happening, that's where the game really sparkles and where a fan base really, really can start having its most fun.
I couldn't have said it better myself. It's a great way to put it. Except for now that I think about it, I would like to think that, well, when I first started, I relied solely on what I saw. And so for the last few years of being a fan, I've gotten to appreciate the analytical data a lot more. So what I've tried to do as best as I can is to marry what I see on the ice and make sense of that against the numbers that come up.
Almost like a cross reference, right?
Right,
like
exactly.
You're cross referencing your eyes and your brain. Yeah, exactly.
And I think between if you can figure out how to put all that together and present it in your mind, then that will make you a better fan, because that's one of the reasons why I created this podcast, is to help Caps fans be better fans, to you know, if they get into an argument with other fans, hey, look, you know, these numbers bear out and you saw what happened. And, you know, that's one of the goals on this show. So, again, glad you could be on here, because I think you do an awesome job doing that, as I said, on your YouTube videos. So what do you think? Well, based on some doom and gloom projections, as I want to say, for the Caps this year, based on that and maybe some in-house expectations, what do you think the Cap season has been this year? Are you surprised at how well they're doing, or you maybe not surprised? What do you envision how it'll play out the rest of the season?
I guess you're referring to what's his name? I'm not going to be able to come up with his name.
John Scott.
John Scott, that's the guy. Alex Ovechkin he's going to slow down, and no way the Caps are going to make the playoffs. I call bullarchy all across the board. Now, it's funny. So I went to the home opener, and I track, you know, on the off season, I tracked what was happening and what I think the team is going to do and trends. And I distinctly remember, right before the game was about to start, a buddy of my brother's who had gone with us, he said, Ovechkin's going to score 50 goals this season. And I looked him dead in the eye and I shook my head and I said, bro, there's no way Ovechkin's breaking 30 goals this season. I said it, and I'm ashamed that I said it. And I have to come out and admit that I said it, because based off of what I saw at the end of last season and in the playoffs last season, that is what I thought was going to happen. And then did I want to go to the extent of John Scott and say, you know, they're not even going to make the playoffs? No, but I did see, hints or the signs that a slowdown could be coming for Ovechkin in particular. Boy, were we wrong. Boy, was I wrong. And it's great to see that I'm wrong. So I always have the expectation that the Caps are going to make the playoffs every year. I know it's us as we talked about numbers guys, we want to be probably as objective as possible because of the numbers. But at a level, I am super, super subjective about this team. And I will always always believe that the team is going to make the playoffs and the team is going to do well. Maybe down on a karma level, if I believe that it's going to come to fruition and happen. So I do think that I did think that the Caps were going to do well at the beginning of the season. Did I think they were going to start the way they started out with their unprecedented point streak? No, I did not. And I think you'd be hard to find anyone who would think that they were going to do something like that. Especially knowing that Nick Backstrom wasn't going to start the season. Outside of that, I think we thought the team would do okay, but I think the team up until this point, so we're what, just over a quarter of the way through the season, maybe a little bit more. I think the team has surpassed expectations, especially with the recent, I guess, Frankenstein lines, you can call it, that Peter Laviolette has had to put on the ice.
Yeah. So the kids from Hershey have been an eye opener, a good surprise to be sure. Yeah, I kind of agree. I didn't think Ovechkin would regress. I think he was probably, in my mind, he was probably due more for a 35 to 40 goal year.
Sure.
If he could avoid injuries. But yeah, I didn't see 50. I certainly didn't see the track that he was on.
Did he have an injury at the end of last season? I think, was that disclosed?
Did. Yeah, he see, did.
I think that's maybe why I thought that.
Yeah, no, he was certainly banged up, and I don't think he was banged up at the end of the regular season, and I don't think he was 100% at the playoffs. I don't think anybody ever is, for that matter.
Right.
But yeah, that certainly didn't help. And then he had that scare in the last preseason game, and yeah, we kind of couldn't help after seeing that, thinking, okay, well, yeah, this is the year he's going to start to show his age, and well, he's not.
How dare you?
thank goodness.
Yes.
The core has been surprisingly reliable. Well, most games. And like I said, it certainly hasn't hurt that the younger guys from Hershey have got next man up and stepped up. And, you know, they've been a great surprise. And, but besides them, and you mentioned this, Laviolette kind of cobbling together whatever lines he can, based on the situation, has, you know, he's gotten the most out of them. So that all, put all that together is, it makes sense for why they've had success. So hopefully they can keep it going through the regular season. Although, as far as the regular season goes, we're kind of in murky waters as far as that's how that's going to be. We'll talk about that later. But let's go ahead and transition into there were two games over the course of the week since the last recording, and the first of which was the game against Chicago, finishing out the road trip. That was Wednesday the 15th. I'm sure we all saw this. Of course, it was another loss in overtime. This was, how do I put this? Probably a needlessly exciting game.
Yes, that's a perfect way of putting it.
Yeah. So going to briefly recap the scoring. No scoring in the first. Captain gets his 21st on the power play, ties Dave Andrechuk for the all-time PPG record.
Pause real quick. Did it feel like 100 years to get that last goal to tie him to you as it did to me?
Well, that's the thing. And that may be something else that you and I have in the back of our minds as far as the secret to the Caps' success this year. And Blake and I kind of joked about it last year. I think the captain forgets that he wears the number 8 and not the number 19.
Right.
in that he's become a stellar passer this year. Not that he wasn't, but I don't know what it is this year, but his finding the guy seems to be his specialty as much as putting it in the net himself.
I'll never complain about his production as far as points, not non-goals, assists, as far as the apples go. I'll never complain about that. But how surprising is that for it almost seems like just a renaissance of his game. We saw him be pure goal scoring, and we've seen him develop as a captain. And it seems like ever since they won the cup in 18, and even more so now this season, his game has become so much more well-rounded. And it's almost even more of a treat now to see these kind of power play goals go in because of all the assisting that he's doing.
That's a great point. And I think on top of that, to build on that, I think he's, you know, it's, I don't think it's an act really when he says every time he gets asked, you'll notice, oh, I'm just doing my job. He's always asked about, well, what do you think about getting closer to Gretzky's record? And he's like, well, that's nice, but I'm just doing my job. I don't think that's an act. I think that's really him, because I don't think his legacy to him is all his numbers. I think his legacy to him is, hey, you know what? I won the cup once. I want another shot at it before I'm too old to play again. And I think 100%. That is what's fueling him. I think that he thinks this year and maybe next year is probably the last best chance he's going to have for a real shot at the cup. And I think that's part of what's driving him, to be honest.
Yeah, I think every player would rather win another cup every year than break any sort of record. 100%.
Yeah, I agree. So, all right. So he opened the scoring. And 10 minutes after that was when, the wheels fell off like a Ford Explorer. So briefly run through that. Caps got some penalties called against them. One of which later on, well, not in this sequence, but one of which later on was, I thought, highly questionable, shall we say. Alex DeBrincat, his 15th, started the scoring, and then, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 18 seconds later, because they were actually down 5-on-3, Kurashev gets his first, and then it's another 16 seconds, Michael Entwistle gets his third of the year, makes it 3-1, and so, 34 seconds, and we're all going WTF.
The worst 34 seconds of the season, 100%. Yeah. I don't think anyone will deny that. So I have a rule on my YouTube channel that you're not allowed to complain about officiating if you lose. You're only allowed to complain about it if you win, but I'm going to break that rule since I'm not on my channel. And, as you pointed out, at least in my mind, at least one of the calls was highly suspect. I think, and both ways, I think were super light in this game. And one of the fun numbers coming into this game was, I think the Caps were the best team as far as penalties against per game coming into this game. Maybe if not the best, top three in the league.
I do recall a blurb. I think it was Craig Lachlan who said they were the least penalized team in the league.
Maybe that's where I heard it. So you have the least penalized team coming into a game and they gave up 6 penalties. There's a discrepancy there that I get very suspicious about. Now, was every penalty suspicious? No. The Dowd trip is a trip. And that was the penalty that led to the 5-on-3. However, that's no excuse for what I would call a defensive breakdown in front of the net, in front of Samsonov. If you look at, I think, 3 of these 5 goals they ultimately ended up scoring, it was smacking at a rebound right in the crease. And in these 34 seconds, 2 of the goals were smacking at a puck in the crease. So penalties can lead to bad situations, but ultimately you have to stay strong as a defense in front of your goaltender. Samsonov made a lot of great saves in this game, and he was not done any favors by his defense on these 2 goals. It was 3 goals total, but on these second two goals of this sequence, I think it was a complete breakdown, and it was 34 seconds that ended up biting the Caps in the butt ultimately at the end of the game.
Yeah, and I don't know if they just decided that since they had all these calls go against them, they were just deciding to let down or what it was. But I would agree that it was something of a breakdown. You have a 5-on-3 against you. That's not a guarantee. The numbers still say upwards of, well, your average penalty kill, if it's decent enough, is still going to prevent a goal against four out of every five times. So a 5-on-3 really isn't all that different. Yes, you have that much ice, more ice to cover, but you know, you're not doomed if you have that one less guy. You still have a job to do, and if you play it right, you can still stop the other team. So yeah, there really wasn't much excuse, I would say, for just that breakdown, because they still, if they had done their jobs, they would not have allowed those high danger chances to begin with.
Yes.
And yeah, I think you're right. That's, you know, part of that 34-second sequence where they just, for whatever reason, either forgot what they were doing or just quit, or I don't know what it was, but.
And yeah, it's the old adage, right? What's the most important shift of a game? It's the shift after a goal, right? Well, these are two shifts after two goals that were not very good. And could you chalk it up to some maybe a morale killer or the guys kind of just giving up a little bit because, you know what? I think maybe Taves complaining after that, you know, he had the penalty that led to the Ovechkin power play goal. I think him consistently complaining in this game after that maybe had some play in the refs calling things a certain way. But you can give the guys a little bit of leash by being upset that it happened. I can't give them a full pass on how badly of a breakdown it was for 34 seconds. That's going to be a number that we're going to be saying in May. 34 seconds. It's 34 seconds. You know, I think no one's going to forget about this one.
No, and if there's anything that good that would come out of this, it would, pardon me, it would be the fact that all it takes, they can learn from this, and that all it takes is that short amount of time where you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing in order to turn a game around. Now, thankfully, they would keep on playing after all this. Daniel Sprong, insert sound effect here.
Is that good enough?
Yeah, we'll take that. Save me some editing. With his fourth, 1918, so wow. So yeah, so that would be another magical McNugget minute goal.
Nuggets!
Making it 3-2. So there was that. So hopefully they were learning from that and swinging the momentum the other way, that is. And
I got a big question about this goal.
What's that?
Was it too many men?
Good question. Well,
what do you think? Was it too many men?
Let's go to the app replay and see.
It's close. I watched it a lot earlier today, and it's very close. So I don't envy the refs having to make that call in real time.
All right. Well, let's see here. Okay. So the replay picks it up in the other end. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop it here and see if I can get a count. It's not too good.
If you go to after the goal, they'll show a good maybe still shot of it or slow-mo of it. Right when Protas gets the puck at the blue line and sends it over to Sprong. Am I thinking of the wrong game? Sprong scores the next game, doesn't he?
I think he scored in the Winnipeg game as well.
Yeah, sorry. All right, I'm thinking of the wrong game.
Okay, no problem. I was going to say, because I count five guys here, Yeah, five guys, as in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys, not the people who make the burgers.
All right. So, well, spoiler alert, I have a question for you next game.
Okay. All right. Well, previews of coming attractions already. Okay. So on with the recap. All right. So 12 minutes in, Eller, the Tiger, ties the game 3-3, the beautiful backhander. Yes. So, all right. So they even it up. So they come all the way back from the 2-goal deficit, and then DeBrincat again. Caps give. Okay, this is the problem I had. This is the call I had. This was the tripping penalty on TJ Oshie against Jonathan Toews. This was the one.
So bad.
Yeah, this was the one I had the huge problem with. So much so that I went back and forth with Blake again on that, and I even went so far as to post a GIF of somebody diving into a bathtub.
I agree that kind of
paints the picture. So yeah. And that was, more cause for, lots of, ungodly language that should not be said. So
It's a tie game. You've had Taves chirping in the ear of the ref the entire game.
Of course.
I just can't believe that the ref would make that call. If you're going to make that call, you've got to give two to each guy and make the dive call as well. It's just, it's too close of a game. It's too hard fought of a game. I get so upset when whistles dictate a game when they don't need to dictate a game.
Exactly. Let the guys play it out. I mean, if it would normally call it, then yes, call it. But if it was a dive, and I don't know, it's argument within an argument here. What do you feel about the embellishment penalty? There are some that say, well, how can it be a trip and an embellishment? I think you can have both.
So, well, that's actually a good point. So I actually like that argument because it's very, very sound. If it's a trip, you can't dive if it is a trip. So there is good backing to that argument. However, I think a lot of the times sticks get caught in skates or guys' legs get wrapped up and it doesn't get called. And the reason it doesn't get called is because it isn't severe enough to be at the level at which a trip can be called according to the letter of the law. But you can take those instances where it's not as severe to be a trip and you can make it look more severe and have a dive. So yes, it could technically be a trip at a minuscule scale, but you can also make it look more severe with a dive. And that's how you can get them called both ways. I think it's possible. But I also think it's more of a ref doing that, a ref calling a trip and a dive at the same time, is more of him saying, look, guys, we're in a tie game. This is very close. Neither of you do what you just did again, whether it was actually a penalty or not. It's a way of the ref taking hold of a game and keeping control of the game so that it's played properly and so that we don't get dumb calls like this.
Again, couldn't have said it better. Great observations. And yeah, so it's more of, you know, instead of you want to keep control of the game, don't call the penalty. Just tell the players, be upfront. Hey, this is what I'm looking for. And if you do it consistently, I'm going to have to call it. I don't really think there was any of that in this game by the assigned on-ice officials and to the detriment of the game. And yeah, you're right. It's there's got to be consistency. The players have to know what to look for. There just wasn't any of that. And I would have been fine with both guys going off, Oshie for the trip and Taze for the dive. I would have been fine with that. But for some reason, they didn't see it that way. And it was probably, like you said, you know, Taze, you know, in the ref's ears all the time, if that's what you call leadership.
Yeah.
don't get me started on that tangent, but yeah, unfortunate part of the game, I guess. And, you know, end result, Caps fall behind again with 5 minutes left. So once again, time for the Caps to show what they're made of. And we thought, okay, well, another regulation loss here until 3 seconds left of the game. Connor Sherry, baby.
Nuggets again.
And the magical McNugget minute once again ties the game. And on a wrister again, another setup by Ovechkin, who was on his
way. Who celebrated like he scored it.
Yeah. And that's always a great thing about it. I think he's happier when he sees a teammate score, whether or not he has anything to do with the goal. But
I think that goes back to our conversation about him at the beginning of the episode. We talked about how he's more concerned about the team doing well than his personal accolades.
Yes.
And this is a prime example. This is not the first time he's done it. It's surely not the first time this season, surely not the first time ever. But this is a prime example of how he cares so much more about team success than he ever will about his individual success. If you ever have a doubt, you watch the highlight of this goal and you watch his reaction. He's happier than a kid in a playpen at McDonald's. He just, oh man, you would have thought he scored that goal.
Yeah, especially with a guy like Sherry, who he's kind of the classic underdog. He's an undersized guy who doesn't stop going to the net. Nothing you can't hate about the guy's game. You know,
shortest guy on the team, I think he's the smallest guy on the team, and he, like you just said, consistently going to the net. That's so surprising.
Yeah, and maybe he doesn't get the numbers that, you know, the top liners get, or even the mid liners get sometimes. But I mean, one thing you got to like about him is you can never, ever question his effort. And I think that's why he's found a place here.
And one of the best signings we've made in the past couple of years.
I would totally agree with that. And, you know, hopefully he sticks around for a while and can keep on producing the way he has. So, okay, so that tied it, and then we go to, well, what's becoming the dreaded overtime. I never used to say that, but there we are. And, well, so it was, I don't know how to describe it anymore, but six
here's,
guys.
Here's a fun number for you. You ready?
Sure.
Caps have the least regulation losses in the entire league, but they also have the most post 60 minute losses of the entire league. Five and seven. It blows my mind how polar opposite this team can be at times. And I don't know. I don't have an answer, Gil. I really don't.
I don't have an answer either, except for that. I hate to give this guy any credit, cause I'm probably pretty far from a fan of his, but, Greg Wyshynski last week wrote an article about how 3-on-3 overtime is nowhere near exciting as it was used to be when they first came out with it. And he pretty much laid out why. And I think this game, the ending to this game, was a classic reason why, because you have six guys who, I don't know how else to describe it, who play, you know, ring around the rosy with the puck for X amount of minutes and either play for the shootout or what it is. Did you know that there's a rule that you cannot pull the goalie? Well, you can pull the goalie, but if you get the empty netter scored against you, you forfeit the loser point.
Really?
There is. Yes, that rule exists.
That's I just learned about that myself.
I just learned about that myself this past week when I.
No,
when
that's
I,
awesome, because it makes sense though when you think about it, because the whole point of turning overtime into it used to be 5-on-5, right? Sudden death, and then in probably the past 10 years, I don't remember exactly when they did it, they changed it to 3-on-3, and the reason for that is they wanted to speed it up, they wanted to make things end faster, and
right.
And so wow.
Yeah. That's, and now,
fascinating.
Well, see, what you've got now is everybody so scared of giving up that odd man rush that things just, and not speed up, but polar opposite. They slow to a crawl, and they skate around in half circles and wait and wait and wait until either somebody falls down, loses an edge, or makes a mistake, or. What?
So this overtime for me was weird. It was different than all the other overtimes that the Caps have played this season in my mind. And the reason for that is they won the possession battle in overtime, which I think is the first time in my mind that they've won that battle out of any of the overtimes, but they still lost the game. And they got caught in that kind of gray area where, yes, you want to hold possession as long as possible. You see guys all the time, they'll be established in the O zone and they'll willingly back out to the neutral zone to get fresh guys on to reset, to re-enter. And they got all that possession, but then they never did anything with it. They never tried to make a move at the net. It's almost like they were too scared that if they made a move, it was going to turn odd man rush the other way. Well, guess what happened anyway?
Yeah, I think you nailed it, because, well, they had probably good. Well, the overtime lasted 3 minutes and 48 seconds. I would say for a good 2.5 minutes, they had the puck.
Easy.
And,
yep.
Yeah. And, yeah. Easily. And they only managed one shot on goal.
One shot. One versus two, I think, was the final number.
Yeah. Yep. That's what it was. One shot on goal that whole time they had the puck. And for a team with this much talent, that's a crime. And yeah, I don't know what it is. about the 3-on-3 setup, but you would think it would favor a team like this, and it just hasn't. And then
who would you put out there? Who is your first three pick to go out for overtime?
Well, a lot has been said about letting the younger guys bear the brunt of the first couple shifts. Maybe give your top liners or your older guys a bit more of a rest. Let them get their legs back. There might be something said for that, although I'm not one of these guys. I'm the farthest from being one of these guys. Oh, let the young guys play. Why is Connor McMichael getting 2 minutes? Why is this guy being benched? Why is this younger guy from Hershey that we called up not playing as much? Blah, blah, blah. Look, ice time is earned. But as far as the requirements of the 3-on-3 overtime, you know what? There might be something to that. Maybe let them take the first shift and, you know, let them wear down the opposition in, because they're going to have the legs. Let them wear down the opposition, chase down the opposition, let them work for the possession, and then get your top liners over the boards for the next shift.
That brings up a good idea that I just thought of. So I never thought of it in that light. I never even thought about putting the young guys out there. I always think, so the Russian trio is my favorite. You have Ovechkin with Kuznetsov and Orlov. Now, obviously Kuznetsov wasn't a possibility in this game because he was out, but
right.
That brings up a good point though. So when you get to the end of a game, especially in the situation that the Caps have been in so recently where they're so shorthanded, they're double shifting guys like Ovechkin and Eller, their top line guys. They're putting them out there so much towards the end of the game. Yeah, they're probably gassed by the time it comes to OT. I've never thought of it that way, but that's a great point. Put the guys out there, the young guys out there for that first shift. Put the pressure on them to win the puck and gain possession, and then give your guys a rest, your top guys, your Ovechkins, your Backstroms, Kuznetsovs, whomever. And then, yeah, put them out there and let them steamroll the opposition. I'd love to see that in the next overtime. That'd be great.
Yeah, I think that might be the way to go. Again, I'm not one of these guys that says put the young guys out there just because, but for the purposes of, because 3-on-3 is such a different game, what could it hurt?
It could hurt a point.
Well,
that's about all it can hurt, though. That's it.
One point, but you know, that's why they changed the rule. If you get as far as 60 minutes without losing, you know, you get that extra point. So
especially a team that's not even in our conference.
Yeah.
I mean, you give up a point to, you know, the Pittsburgh Penguins, you know, that's a shot to the heart, but
that'll hurt.
That did hurt. But you give up a point to, you know, Chicago Blackhawks twice. It's a win in my book. You walked away with a point on the road.
True. Well, okay. So long story short, we talked about this earlier. If I were to fault Samsonov for any of the goals, I would say it would be this one. Although Orlov being in front of him and kind of booting it a bit did not help him in any way, but
yeah, a bit of an unlucky bounce.
Yeah. Bounced off him, and then Orlov tried to clear it with his skate, and then
it goes right to Jones.
Couldn't get to it right. Couldn't get to it in time, and Caps got caught deep, and with only one man coming back, and Caleb Jones was Johnny on the spot and just put it away.
Give him a little credit. I mean, he could have flown past the goal to try and start getting back, and he didn't. He stopped, and you send guys to the front of the net, good things are going to happen, and that's exactly like you just said, Johnny on the spot. Good things are going to happen.
Yeah, and thus endeth the game. So loser point in hand, we walk out of Chicago. I wanted to beat them, but you know. Walking away with a point isn't so bad, given the fact that in the middle of the game, it didn't look like they were going to come back to begin with. So
it didn't need to be a comeback. It ended up being a comeback. They ended up walking away with a point. And you got to give some props to the Blackhawks. They've been doing a lot better since they swapped coaches around. It's been a night and day almost for this team. So they got fight and they got some really talented guys out there. I mean, they got Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane and Alex DeBrincat. You got some really good guys out there. It's not an easy team to beat, even though it looks like it on paper sometimes, but yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah. I think they're going to, they might be in a bit of a resurgence, shall we say, but let's look at some of the key statistics. Okay. Shots on goal. We always look at 46 to 28 for the good guys. Yeah. You would think with that kind of discrepancy, yeah, that would have gone into the Caps' favor. Not so much, at least not when you run into that, which is Marc-Andre Fleury.
And his post,
whatever magic he possesses somehow against this team. Yeah, what can I say? Another stellar performance by him. You got to give him credit. Power play was 1 for 3 in their opportunities, so
not bad.
Not bad. I mean, I'll take 1 for 3 versus 0 for 2 or 0 for 4. We've gotten unfortunately too used to seeing.
Yes, yeah, too used to. Agreed.
20 plus hits on both sides, so it was a you know, decently physical game, not overly so, but definitely a physical presence there. Shots on goal per period. Again, Caps got over a dozen for each period. So offensively, they were most certainly dialed in. I think a part of it was they didn't make the most of these opportunities when they could have. And Marc-Andre Fleury was the difference.
Do you happen to know how many of those shots were considered high danger? Do you have the natural stat trick on that?
I
think that's what's key there about, like, you can have 100 shots in a game, but if only 20 of them are true testers for the goaltender, Marc-Andre Fleury is going to stop 20 shots. Like, hard for him.
If I'd have been thinking, I would have had the heat map up, but yeah, I think you have a point. This is what I can't stand about the app. The apps used to be not controlled by the NHL. They used to be controlled by the teams. And there used to be something of not really a heat map, but a dot by dot where the shot took place.
Yeah.
So there used to be those in the app. And then the NHL took over all the apps and they don't show that anymore. And but I think you're right. If Marc-Andre Fleury sees it, he's going to stop it. And I think that would be the one knock I have with the Caps offense, is that sometimes they get into this game where they're content to fire shots from outside and hope they get a rebound. But sometimes you don't get that rebound. And if you don't have anybody in front causing traffic like a Tom Wilson or an Alexei Protas lately, it really doesn't matter anyway.
And Marc-Andre Fleury, he was giving up quite a few rebounds in this game, at least more so than I think we're used to seeing him give up. But then you just hit the nail on the head. That's all fine and dandy if he's giving up rebounds, but if you don't have a guy there to clean it up, nothing's coming from it.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Protas hasn't gotten as much ice time lately. I'm not sure what's going on with that. And of course, Wilson's been out for the last few games. So I've always been that believer of, you have a big guy in front of the net who has some hands, then you've really got something, because he'll either cause enough havoc in front of the net, even if he never touches the puck, to help out, or he'll get the rebound. So that's
and Protas is, he's huge, 6'6", I think. Like,
6'6". Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's massive. If I'm Peter Laviolette, I'm whispering his ear on the bench. I'm saying, get that puck in the zone, and you pretty much sit on the goaltender, no matter what happens. Just stand there, and you'll do your job properly. I guarantee it.
Yep, definitely. And just to put the nail in the coffin in this game, it could have been, as we keep saying, it could have been a lot worse. It looked like an L in the middle of the game, a regulation L, which is never any good, but at least they came away with the classic loser point. So not exactly the best end result, but I won't complain when you look at the big picture. So there is that.
Yeah. Point on the road, point against a team that's not even in your conference. I think you take it, you move on.
True. Okay. So speaking of moving on, they go north of the border. The next game, which was this past Friday night against the Jets. And so no goals to give the rundown. No goals in the first. Then Brett Leeson gets his third. Scarbosa and Irwin on the assist, his first point of the year.
And not a combination you're used to hearing.
Yeah, not really, but you know what? Whatever works. And before we go any further, this was I don't want to say a trap game was my thinking, but of course you had the two guys that couldn't go into Canada due to their own COVID protocol, and then you had the news that Backstrom had to go into COVID protocol as well. Right after his first game back.
Killer.
And yeah, that was just, gut punch of all time there. Although I wasn't too worried, but I was kind of thinking, all right, this is probably going to be a tough game, but I wasn't too worried. On our Facebook page, I was trying to convince a lot of people, okay, don't panic. This is not permanent. This is just a minor setback. And I thought they'd at least put up a fight. I didn't think they'd do as well as they did. Okay, so they jumped out to the 1-0 lead. Okay, so here's the goal you were talking about. The 2-0 lead, Sprong his fifth. Okay, so I'm picking up the replay. And okay, so here we go. Looks like I'm trying to see.
It's Protus is the key here. You got to look at, I think it's McMichael is going off and Protus comes on, catches the puck just inside the blue line.
Right. So the replay starts with this great save at the other end by Vanacek. Okay. So here's, looks like Ovechkin and Schultz and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Okay. No, he hadn't really. Okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Okay. The guy, as I understand that, pardon me, the too many men on the ice rule. There is, I don't know the exact figure, but there's like a 6-foot grace area. I want to call it that you're allowed. And from what I'm seeing on the replay, the guy coming off the bench was just inside of that. And the key thing with too many men on the ice is, could they have possibly gotten in the way of, or played the puck?
Right.
And the player in question, there's no way they could have affected the play. So even if they were, then it probably wouldn't, well, by the letter of the law, it should have been called if they were, but because it was so close, I think they just decided to ignore it. But
I think the replay on this is great, because when they show an overhead shot, I don't have it pulled up now, but I watched it this morning again. McMichael he's pretty much touching the boards at the bench. Like he's about to hop off. When Protus, in my mind, becomes part of the play. And he becomes part of the play in my mind only when the puck comes to him, because as you pointed out correctly, it's a matter of if he could get in the way of the play. Does he get in the way of a player making his way into the play? None of that. So he only becomes part of the play when that puck gets to his stick just inside the blue line. At that point, I think Michael's already touching the boards. He's already hopping off. And the ref is standing right there. Good job on the ref to get up and be in perfect view. He could almost reach out and touch McMichael. That's how close he was to check that line change. I agree with you. Not too many men. I know Winnipeg was complaining about it. I feel like they almost had to complain about it just for principle's sake. But yep, correct call. I think it is not too many men. That's a good goal. And man, what a shot by Sprong.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you want to see more of that out of Sprong. And well, there's kind of an ongoing debate between,
yeah,
well, shall we say, the other side of his play. You want to see more of that out of Sprong, but he's not going to get those kind of opportunities unless he displays a little bit, shall we say, more responsibility on the other side of the puck. And that's a bit of a bone of contention amongst some of our loyal fans on our Facebook page.
I think appropriately, though. I think, and they're obviously referring to Ovechkin's displeasure with Sprong. But Peter Laviolette's not backing down. He's continually putting Sprong on that line. And I think that can only do good things for Sprong. Sprong can only learn from this, and he can only get better.
Absolutely. And as long as he shows a willingness to learn the other side of the game, then he's going to get his opportunities. And hopefully somewhere in his mind, you know, that clicks in that, okay, you know, if as long as I live up to that side of it, then I'm going to get my scoring chances, because I think he has one of the best shots on this team.
Do you think something's going on with him personally? And I ask that, yeah, I ask that because I feel like last season, he was the guy that should have been getting a jersey every night, no matter what, because of how good he was playing in both directions. And I feel like he's dropped off this season. I feel like he's not doing as well as he normally does. And it makes me wonder if something's going on with him.
Well, you know what? That's an excellent question. And the numbers, as far as dropping off, like you said, the numbers bear that out. I read somewhere, I'm pretty sure it was Blake that let me know this. His goals for per 60 have dropped off a cliff.
Plummet.
These last five or six games, especially. And yeah, I don't know. I really can't tell if it is anything with him personally. I know this much. You know, my observations, at least that side of things. Now that we've gone over the numbers, when he gets the puck, there's no stopping him, and he's square to the goal. There is no stopping him. He will get that shot, and it will be a bullet.
He is determined to get to the net with that puck. Yeah,
exactly. There will be no getting in his way. He might as well be Ovechkin at that point. Not so much when the play is going the other way. And I think that's why the captain had to give him an earful after that one shift to let him know. Because
I think the Caps do a good job with their third man high. They've done, I think, very well with that this season. And I guess I'm not sure how up on lingo your listeners are, but the third man high is essentially your third forward in the zone. You have your two forecheckers who are most of the time going to get low, battle for the puck. Your third man high needs to be that guy who can either hop into the play quickly or can get back and play defense quickly. And the Caps, when they are responsible with their third man high, they're able to shut down the neutral zone very effectively. And I think Sprong needs to buy into that concept a little bit more. And the shift that you just spoke of, where Ovechkin gave Sprong an earful, Sprong's trying to cherry pick in front of the net in a situation where he needs to be back supporting. And I think that's why Ovechkin got so upset. Sprong is waiting for the puck to just maybe squirt out towards the net, and he gets lucky and he's all alone in front of the net. When the responsible play is to be that strong third man high and come back and support your team. And as Ovechkin put it bluntly, play some defense.
Right. Right. No, killer observation there. History lesson here. The 1998-99 Caps, coached by Ron Wilson, played that very same system. He called it a wedge. He largely used the center. Now, there was a similar system called a left-wing lock being employed at the same time. But his system used the center position to kind of hang back, not stay on the point so much, but kind of hang back in a little past the high slot to prevent the odd man rush, the break chance from happening. And they were very successful at that. They use that to aplomb, to guide themselves to multiple 50 win seasons. They were very, very successful with that. So good observation there. Sprong could definitely use more of learning that. And I think he's afraid that if he doesn't cherry pick, he's not going to get his opportunities. And I think he kind of needs it to broaden his horizons and figure out that there's a better way of doing things.
You said it earlier, time on ice is earned, right? And I think maybe he's thinking that if he's not producing at all times, he's not going to get his time on ice. But like I said earlier, Peter Laviolette's doubling down on him. He's continued with all these guys being out, injured reserve or COVID or whatever you have it. Sprong's getting put on that top line for the past couple games, and he's taking rushes in practice with that top line. He had almost 18 minutes ice time in this game. As comparison, Ovechkin had 20 and a half. So he's getting his ice time. He's going to be more effective and more valuable to this team if he can not have that mentality, if he can not think of cherry picking and constantly looking at the net and get back in support and make sure you play defense as well. It's a two-way game, and we need every single guy to play two ways. It goes back to the preseason. I don't know if you recall, odd man rushes were an issue in the preseason, and they've been somewhat of an issue off and on in this regular season. But when you're not coming back defensively, you're giving up a lot of odd man rushes, just like we saw in those couple preseason games.
I did notice that in the preseason. I kind of chalked that up to they were still learning Laviolette and McCarthy's system for the most part. But yeah, you're right. It's been showing up in spurts here, and that's kind of a funny thing. Sometimes you can chalk it up to puck luck, a funny bounce here. Sometimes it's really bad puck handling right at the line. But other times it is being not in the right place, not in the right position, and not doing what you're supposed to, and you get caught next thing you know. You can't really chalk it up to one thing, but it is what I'm not too worried about is the fact that they don't allow it to be a trend. If it happens, it happens maybe a couple, three times in a game, and they're done with it. They clamp down when they have to. But then there's other times where, you know, they let it happen and it kills them, and then the game's all but over. So feast or famine, I guess.
I think this game is a prime example of exactly what you just said. First period, they did give up some odd man rushes. They had some hard looks at the net, and luckily Vanacek was able to make the save, but they did clamp down. They did make it a much closer game.
Yes, absolutely. And I didn't think the Caps were going to run away with it, but I was heartened to see all the scoring chances that they got. I think they outshot the Jets 14-8 in the first period. Of course, it would go completely the other way period, that would be why most of us fans were kind of worried because of the depleted roster that we had. But even so, there was Vanacek to fill in the void and keep it even. Now, of course, for the Jets, after Sprong's goal, an old friend, Brendan Dillon, gets his
dilly.
First of the year.
Dilly puts
a wrister in and makes it competitive. I was very surprised that they would only end up getting that one goal for that period with the amount of chances they were getting. Pretty close game until we're into the third period, And a few minutes in, Josh Morrissey, every day is like Sunday, gets his fifth. Oh, glad to see you got that reference.
Yes.
Won't talk about that any further. Fifth of the year. Nikolai Ehlers and another old friend, Nate Schmidt, with the assist on that one on the power play. So that evened up the game 2-0-3 in the third. Okay, so pucker time as it goes as far as certain body parts until Connor Sherry gets his seventh, 9:09 in the third, to put the Caps up for what would eventually be the game winner.
Not to change the subject, are you always that apt with your dad jokes? Is that kind of your thing?
I guess so. I am a dad of four. I guess so. That
I'm still. You've moved on like three goals, and I'm still sitting here shaking my head every day like Sunday.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess that's always been my thing. I've always had that sense of humor, I guess, if you can call that.
That's great. But, no, I love it. I think it's good. It's fun. It's
Little bit. I mean, pull the curtain back a bit. A tiny little bit is inspiration out of I don't know if you've heard of this guy back in the day, but Chris Berman, when ESPN was actually good and worth watching, he'd always make up nicknames, add on names to especially baseball players.
Okay, all right.
Probably not much like I did with Morrissey, but I can't. There was a guy by the name of Vance Law, and so he always Vance Law and Order gets a single up the middle.
Oh, right.
For example,
well, you did well. You did. I liked it. I thought it was good.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Since we're on a tangent, I gotta say I love your last name. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
When I was a kid, there was an old cartoon they'd play reruns of that I would skip doing my homework and watch for an hour, Challenge of the Super Friends. And one of my favorite heroes was the Green Lantern, of course. Yep. And his enemy was, of course, Sinestro. So yes. I'm wondering, did you get teased about that a lot when you were a kid?
So I've gotten Sinestro before. But I don't get it as often as I think I would like. I would much prefer to get that because I think it's a better reference. Unfortunately, I get Sylvester, as in Sylvester the Cat, much more often. I think because it's more common. Much more people watched the Looney Tunes. I think that's what that's from. Yeah, Looney Tunes. Than they did, say, action hero comic books. So, yeah, I would much prefer that. But unfortunately, I get the Cat instead.
Okay. And to spare everybody, no, I will not go into an impersonation of the character he's describing. I understand not everybody's old school as I. So we'll skip that for now. All right. So back to the game. Okay. So Sherry had just put them up for good, 9:09 into the third. And then Mike Scarbosa with his second to pretty much ice it. Leeson and Jensen, Leeson his second point of the game. There, I thought he had a pretty good game. I thought Malenstein had a good game until he was knocked out as well.
Yeah, the young guys really shone in this game, I thought. So they've always had good contributions this entire season with being plugged into this lineup so much. But I think this game was a true testament to the gutsiness that these young guys have when they get the call. And they come up and they really plug themselves hard into this lineup and contribute. Not just being another body on the ice, but actually contributing to the game. Loved it. I thought it was great from the young guys.
Absolutely. Totally agree. And so that would not end the scoring. We were all kind of worried about Ovechkin since he had that point streak, although he probably could care less. But Jets, for some reason, decide to keep their net empty. So he ends up with his 22nd, also in the magical McNugget minute.
McNuggets for everybody.
Yeah. Sorry, Washington Capitals, but I'm a Wendy's guy. I'm not a McDonald's guy. Sorry.
Oh, what?
Sorry.
I don't know if we can be friends anymore. That's so disappointing. I mean, Wendy's has got good nuggets, but come on, man. It's a McNugget. It's so iconic.
I will readily admit to scarfing down and living off of a good old fashioned 20 piece box.
Yeah.
And one or two packets of barbecue sauce, and that being my only meal of the day when I was in college. But yeah, I guess, I mean, for the most part, I've moved on from them. So yeah, I'm sorry to say, but yeah, I'm sorry. I'm a Wendy's guy. So
all right. That's why there's chocolate and vanilla, I guess.
Yeah, it's true. So that thus endeth that game, 5-2, the final score, of course. And so your number one star, if I have to point out, Vitek Vanacek, and I was really, really glad to see that. I'm not a Vitek hater. I've had criticism of his game. I still think some of his fundamentals could be improved, but I was really happy to see that he was not only trusted with this situation, because he could have been left out to dry, much like he was in that Seattle game. But he was trusted with this situation where the coaching staff told him, all right, you're the guy. We just come off a loss. You got to get us back. And, you know, had a lot of high danger chances against him, had a lot of shots total against him, 42 in total. He got 40 of them.
He had his best game of the season, if you ask.
Easily.
Yes.
And I was disappointed when he lost his I thought he was on his way to a shutout bid, but then, you know, Dylan got that wrister past him, and I was wondering how he'd react to that, because so here's my observation of Vanacek. He gets into a groove in the game, and then something will happen to get him out of that, and then he has a little bit of trouble getting his rhythm back. And I think that has something to do with the fact that I don't want to say it's his conditioning or even a mental thing, but it's just maybe the way he plays. Maybe he needs constant action, like getting 40 plus shots.
You think he gets maybe bored in a sense?
I don't know about bored, but or even losing focus. But it's just, you know, if there's too much of extended action in the other end, you know, the old saying was, you know, fog at the end of the ice, you know, in front of your own goalie, because your offense is so good. I don't know if it's that, but he just seems to be a guy where if he's not constantly tested, if he's not involved 100% of the time, I don't know. It seems like physically he's got to ramp himself up just to get back to where he was. And this was a game that kind of suited him in that, well, he was never really out of it, because they peppered him pretty good.
20 shots in the second. That's a lot of shots. And I was kind of with you that I thought maybe I didn't think shutout yet at that point. I usually don't have that. Of course, I never say it, but I never have that word cross my mind, at least into the third period. But 20 shots in the second, he gives up the one, and I don't think there was much he could have done about that goal. But he still had to face 14 shots in the third, and he gives up the one. It's a power play goal. But he saved 13 others in the third period. So yeah, like you just pointed out, he never had to have a break in this game. And I've never made that observation before about him, but you bet your bottom dollar, I'm going to be looking at that from now on, wondering, hey, is his game dipping off because maybe his shot volume that he's facing is dipping off? I don't know. If there's a correlation there, I'd like to see it.
I mean, I would love for nothing more to be wrong about that, but
right.
You know, it's something I've noticed in his game. And I think it contributes to the fact that, you know, unfortunately, when it goes to overtime, well, he's yet to win an overtime game. So
this was a much needed game for him, though, I think. I think so. Going back, let's rewind a bit to last season. So he gets thrown into the net last season. Everyone's expecting Samsonov to start. We have a lot of things happen. Vanacek gets the brunt of the work. And he did fantastic last season. I thought he put up really, really good numbers, especially for being thrown into that situation. Before this game, I think he only had five wins, if I'm not mistaken. You can correct me if I'm wrong on that.
I think you've got it. Yeah. I think he was, his record was something like 5-2 and 5-3 and 5.
Somewhere around that area. And that's after 14 or 15 starts. So you compare it to last season after his first 15 starts, he had, I think, much better numbers than he did right now. And I think that's why everyone's leaning towards, Samsonov being our number one right now, which is a good situation to have where you have two goaltenders who are battling over the crease. I don't think any hockey fan is going to argue over that. But this game, I think, was a great game for him to see confidence come back into his game. I mean, some of those saves he made in the first, we talked about odd man rushes. Winnipeg must have had 2-3 great odd man rush chances in the first period, maybe even in the first half of the first period. And he confidently saved all of them. And I think that goes a long way for such a young goaltender. And if he can continue to see good things come out of his game, and then also, as you pointed out, learn a few more fundamentals and be a little more sound, he can go a long way for this team. And I'd like to. I was on his bandwagon last season. I was actually not happy with Samsonov last season. I've kind of flopped this season, and I do want to lean towards the best goaltender, but I would love to see him really come out of this. I don't want to call it a slump because he is winning games, but kind of string together a few more wins and really see him shine as we go into holiday break, and then as we get to the All-Star break, and then I would love to see more of this from him in the next month or two. We wrapped up Winnipeg. Ovi's game, his point streak continued with an empty netter, and right. Sherry was third star of the game, and we talked about kind of just what we talked about earlier with him, how he's been one of the best signings, in my opinion, for the Caps in the past couple of years, and I don't think he was expected to be a top six forward coming into the season, but with everything that's happened, he's been given a lot more responsibility, and I think he's shown through. And then LA coming into the house, coming Capital One Arena, and I just hope they don't bring those silver helmets last time. I hate those things. It's so hard to watch.
I wonder if they got a sponsorship deal with Google.
With Google. It reminds me of, did Vegas do that, something similar last year or the year before with gold? I feel like I remember that. So I'm not
pretty
crazy.
Sure they. Okay. I'm pretty sure they did.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate everything about it.
Yeah. talk about wardrobe malfunction. So beyond the Kings game, just to get to previews of coming attractions, so they go back on the road again, although as I mentioned earlier, future games are kind of in, shall we say, something of a state of limbo, given the fact that everywhere you turn, you see one or two guys get placed on COVID protocol. So unfortunately, wouldn't really surprise me if the league decides to call a halt.
So they kind of have. I don't know if you've seen it. It was just announced maybe within the hour before we started filming.
Really?
So all cross-border games have been halted up until I think Christmas.
You know what? I think Mrs. Blue Liner kind of tapped me on the shoulder and
told me of that. She's correct. I think I saw that right before we started. Luckily, I don't think that's going to affect the Caps.
Yeah, no, it's not. They don't go over the border again until second week-ish of January when they play the Canadiens on the 4th.
Well, Ottawa does come to Washington on the
27th. Ottawa does. Oh, you're right. You're right. So
I don't know which line that falls on. I don't know exactly where the line for the cutoff is. I want to say it was up until Christmas. The Christmas break, which I think goes to the 26th. So the 27th might be okay.
Right. Okay. Makes sense. Makes a heck of a lot of sense. So, okay. Well, right in front of us right now, we've got the brief I-95 road trip. Flyers, 7 o'clock puck drop on Tuesday the 21st. And then it's up to Long Island, 7:30 puck drop. Against our old friend Barry Trotz and the Islanders. Cool. And then, yeah, it's the Christmas break and the last week of the year.
What a week ahead of the Caps. I think one of the more important weeks the Caps have had in at least recent memory from the past couple weeks. Two divisional matchups in the same week.
Two divisional matchups and a team that is vastly improved in the Kings. So certainly three games not to take lightly. And a further test of now that yet another forward has been placed in COVID protocol, TJ Oshie.
That's a killer. That hurts.
Especially
right before this game. That one hurt when I saw it earlier today.
That really stings. And it's great that they're getting Dowd and TVR back, but that's kicking the old gonads right there is losing him.
I do wonder about the possibility of Hathaway coming back tonight.
That's,
I think he's
funny.
A chance.
They haven't really mentioned him, but they haven't said no either. So I think he's going to be, well, he was in COVID protocol, so not an injury. So not
he's
like
been
it can
reactivated
be
off
okay.
of COVID protocol. So there's a chance he could play. Now, this is all speculation here. I have no insider knowledge, but I think Peter LaViolette was a little open-ended when the questions about Hathaway tonight came around. So I think he's trying to leave it open as a possibility, which would be nice.
Fair, Avari. A busy week, as you said, coming up. And then 1 week to go till the new year. And then we can wave goodbye to 2021, leave it in the rearview mirror. Not as bad as 2020, thank goodness. So with that, this being the holiday season, just want to give a brief little holiday shout out. I've been busy with work. I'm one of the last guys who didn't bother to take a holiday vacation at my job. So I apologize if I'm not as prepared, but just going to keep things simple this year. Couple things on my mind. The Marine Corps Toys for Tots is, of course, a prominent charity in the DC area. And so what I would like all of our listeners to do, as many as you can, make a donation, be it either monetary or a toy. And if you can, if the site will let you, make it to the dedication of our old friend Becca Thomas, who, of course, passed away a year and a half ago. She was a dedicated Marine, dedicated Caps fan. Loved by one and all that she knew, a huge Caps fan, had a lot of friends, was active in the medical field too, helped out a lot of people there. So all around great Caps fan. So if you can, put the dedication with her to your donation for Marine Corps Toys for Tots. Running out of steam here. And so just want to end the show with a nice shout to I did this myself. Ann and I, all of our listeners, one and all, who've been with us, whether it's the first day or from the beginning, guys like, Kevin Simmons and someone new like Anna Marie Lloyd from beginning to end. Just want to thank all you guys listening out there you guys are the ones that keep us going. And want to take this time to wish you all a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Thanks for all that you do for us. And we're small potatoes, yes, but we'd like to get bigger so we can keep reaching out to more Caps fans. So do please spread the word about us and tell a Caps fan you love about us. Download, subscribe when you can. So I really want to thank you all for hanging in there. And Brad, don't want to be remiss. Thanks very much for doing this tonight. We're getting on towards game time. Went a lot longer, but I got to say, damn, this was fun.
Man, thanks. I've been waiting for the call. I see you post all the time, and I know I've hit you up before saying let's collab. So I'm glad I got this opportunity. This was so much fun. I hope we get a chance to do it again. I want to tell everyone Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Good New Year. I'm kind of the guy. I know the past year, year and a half, 2 years has been very difficult, but I'm the kind of guy that always likes to look at the good things that happen instead of the bad things. I guarantee you there's a lot of good stuff that happened. Try to focus on that. Always keep the light on. And this has just been so much fun. In light of the holiday season, I know you, our Blue Liner on Point always has a reminder at the end of his episodes. But if I might infringe, I wanted to let you know. Did you know that there is a shortage on Advent calendars right now? I'm not sure if you're aware.
Really?
So, yeah. So make sure you grab one up soon because their days are numbered.
Okay. I am going, I had my own ending, but you know what? That was so good. I will break my own rule and we will end with that.
Oh, I didn't want to infringe that badly, but all right.
Well, all right. Well, since you asked nicely,
yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So for all our listeners out there, happy holidays and Merry Christmas. Thanks once again. Also for, Bradley Silvestro, thanks for coming on again. So this is the Blue Liner on Point. Signing off for the next to last week of 2021 and reminding you that Adam, when he was discussing holiday plans to his missus on the 24th of December, reminded her, hey, it's Christmas Eve.
Bravo. Bravo. See, I love it. I love it. I'm not going to be silent. When I think something's funny, I'm going to let you know. And that was a good one.
And I appreciate that. Even if somewhere Anna is probably retching up her dinner right now.
She's so. Face palming somewhere for sure.
All right. Thanks a lot. Hallelujah. And let's go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.